Episode 347, Excavating the X-Files, Part 8.
It's back, everyone. It's a revival.
Welcome to the Sci-Fi Christian, bringing you theology at warp speed. I'm Matt Anderson.
And I am Ben DiBono, and we are back.
Back. Ben, you're right. It has been a while, so...
June.
Yes, I emailed you the exact date this morning, but, or not the exact date, I think I emailed you a little clip, but here it is. Do I have this loaded up here anywhere? Yeah, June 17th, it looks like.
Yeah.
2014.
That's right.
So, just under a year since the last time we did this. And I did listen to that episode, part 7.
Oh, I only listened to the last 5 minutes.
I'm sorry. No, June 21st. Yeah. June 24th. First, 2014. So... yeah, I listened to the whole episode this morning because I was thinking, it's been a while. I sort of want to get back into the mode of how do we do this excavation. And the beginning of that episode, I know you didn't listen to it, but you could just tell we were X-filed out.
Yeah, we didn't want to do it anymore.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was our format was sort of weird. We were doing them in like chunks of 3 to 4.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It felt like we were taking forever to get through the season. So that was the episode where we changed our mind and we decided... however long it takes, we're going to do a season at a time.
That's right.
So that's why this episode will be a little longer. We're going to cover 5 episodes of The X-Files. I'll tell you the episodes right now in case you want to go listen or watch them. It is Redux Part 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Patient X, The Red and the Black, and The End. So those 5 episodes are the ones that we'll be discussing and spoiling. Well, we're all the time with these episodes, in case this is your first one you're ever listening to, which would be weird. You see part 8,
yeah,
and you're
that's
like,
right.
that's where I'm tuning in.
That's where I'm going to jump in.
So we spoiled not just these episodes, but the entire series. Because the point of these episodes is that we want to uncover the mythology of X-Files and see if it holds up, see if it all ties together.
Well, I think we've answered that question.
Well, we haven't got to the end yet, so let's just hold on and see. I mean, we do know that it doesn't exactly, but let's just give it the benefit of the doubt for now. So, so what we're going to do is I will... even though it's going to be remarking on some things that we're going to talk about in this evening's episodes, I'm going to first give you a section I like to call What We Know So Far.
And everyone, don't forget to stay tuned for the Real Life X-File at the end of the
episode.
True.
Yeah, so first we'll do What We Know So Far. Then we'll do episode by episode summary slash my fun facts.
Yeah.
And then we'll end things with everybody's favorite, Ben's Real Life X-Files.
I actually think that... you know, not to screw with the format here, but what we know so far, part of why I enjoyed these episodes more is I'd forgotten a lot of what we know so far.
Okay. So you want to do that afterwards, maybe?
No. I think we should do it because we promised it, but maybe if you want to enjoy these episodes, plug your ears for that part because the X-Files works better if you've forgotten a lot of what happens.
Because I found, so we haven't watched these in about a year, and I found these 5 episodes to be very enjoyable.
Yeah,
did you also?
I like the middle two a lot, the Patient X and the Red and the Black. Yeah. I can't stand whenever they decide to do a voiceover, because it's just, why did they have David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson just speaking the most monotone voices ever? My search for extraterrestrial life had yielded no results, but yet I vowed to continue. It's horrible. And so the first 2 episodes are just full of voiceover.
Uh-huh.
Like, kill me now. Okay. It's horrible. And then the end was okay.
Okay. So I was going to say something. Well, let's just dive into this, what we know so far. There was a point I really wanted to make, and now it's totally gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. All right, so here's what we know so far.
Yeah.
This is a little bit of a rehash from some of our last episodes, but it's been a year, people.
That's right.
Come on. Here is, in full, just mythology, and Ben, add anything that I forgot.
Okay.
I wrote this out earlier today. Aliens exist, and members of the government have kept it a secret. Some human scientists are trying to create an alien-human hybrid, but we don't really know why.
Yeah, well, I think we know why.
Okay, stop me and tell me why then.
Well, so that they can survive, so humans can survive the 2012 invasion.
Okay, let me write that in. So humans can survive the 2012 invasion. Okay.
Yeah.
There are alien bounty hunters who want to keep their race pure and are killing the hybrids and all the clones.
Yeah, they're the rebels.
No. I think the bounty hunters work with the aliens and the rebels are the faceless ones. Because remember the bounty hunter tried to kill the faceless one in this episode we watched tonight.
Oh. I thought the faceless ones were the bounty hunters.
You think so? Because why did one try to kill the other one then?
See, this is why, because I just didn't care. I wasn't trying to figure out all that stuff, and I enjoyed the episode.
Okay, here, let me keep going.
Okay.
The bounty hunters can shapeshift.
Yeah.
That's one of their main attributes that we've seen.
See, I thought they shapeshifted to having no eyes.
Oh, no. Well, I'll get there.
Okay.
I'll get there.
All right.
I'll just tell you now. Faceless ones are rebels, and they do... I think that I don't know if they're the same alien race or if they're a competing alien race, but they sewed their eyes, ears, and mouths shut to avoid the black oil.
Right.
Which is also another form of alien, but we'll get there. So, okay. Humans are being abducted, and it's still unclear, but it's either by the aliens for their research or by humans for research and making hybrids.
Yeah.
Which one do you feel like it is?
I think it's the humans.
So you think humans are actually abducting? So should I just change that right now? That humans are being abducted?
Well, I don't know for sure.
Okay. Mulder's sister Samantha was abducted because Mulder's father planned to reveal the existence of aliens.
Yeah.
This was supposed to keep the abduction was supposed to keep him quiet as some sort of insurance. The implication being that Samantha is still alive out there somewhere. Bill Mulder, that's his father, that's Mulder's father, was given a choice as to which of his children would be abducted, which implies that the humans he worked with have a means of communication with the aliens that took her. If it was aliens at all,
it might have been
the humans, actually. An alien essence also exists in the form of black oil, which can possess human hosts and move from body to body. The oil is used as a medium for travel and is not its permanent form. Anything you want to say about that before I move on?
No.
It seems like the alien colonizers, the alien bounty hunters, and the black oil are all on the same side. But there is also a group of alien rebels that are opposed to the other aliens colonizing Earth. But at this point, it's unknown why they are against the colonization.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true, right? We don't know why they are against
it. Yeah. No.
Okay.
I think it's probably because they just needed to have two sides for the purpose of the show.
Yes. They are depicted, these rebels, are depicted as faceless, and this is what I mentioned before, with their eyes, ears, and mouths sewn shut so they can't be infected by the black oil. Americans and Russians are currently in the midst of an arms race of sorts, and I say that with quotes. They are both trying to develop a vaccine from the black oil. They're trying to see who can do it first.
Yeah.
If a vaccine can be made, colonization may be able to be avoided. Some Americans, like the members of the Syndicate, have considered joining with the alien rebels in order to avoid colonization.
That's right.
The timetable for colonization looks to be around the year 2012, and we know this because in an episode we'll discuss tonight, which took place in the year 1997, one of the members of the Syndicate mentioned that they were still 15 years away from that phase of the aliens' plan.
Right.
So these episodes are the ones where we find out that it's 2012.
Yeah.
That's what I have for our...
I think you got it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I did break up the factions of aliens, and I don't know if these are some of these are the same, but there's five different types of aliens we've seen, but some of these might overlap. So there's number one, the regular typical looking aliens with the big heads and the big eyes.
Yeah,
I think they sometimes are called the Greys.
Yeah, the Greys.
Two, the bounty hunters or the shapeshifters. They're either working for the colonizers or they are the colonizers.
Right.
I'm unclear on this. Since they can shapeshift, their form could be the Greys.
That's true.
Okay. Number three, we've got the alien-human hybrids, which are also called clones, because there's so many of them. The doubles, that is. So that's produced, though, by humans.
Right.
So
they're not really aliens.
They're not straight-up alien.
Yeah.
Then we've got the black oil.
Yeah.
And this seems to be with the Greys, because it seems like it's part of the colonization, because otherwise why would the Syndicate want a vaccine for it?
That's true.
Okay. And then finally,
I wonder if that is true. That's interesting. I'm gonna find out.
Okay. And finally, we've got the alien resistance, and these are the faceless rebels that are against colonization.
Right.
So those are the five different types of aliens we've seen, but again, the black oil, the bounty hunter, and the Greys could all be the same people. What are you researching right now? You're looking online?
Yeah, I just Googled it.
Okay.
I think that you're right.
That they're three different or they're all the same?
No, I don't know about that. It's an alien virus.
The black oil is an alien virus?
I suppose I should read more than the first paragraph that shows up on Google.
Well, we've seen episodes, though, in our previous...
It is the life force of the alien colonists. How about that?
The black oil
is.
Yeah. So by life force, I mean, they occupy humans sometimes. Like they take them over like body snatchers. So what does that mean? That they can move their life force around?
I think so.
Interesting. That was not clear in the episodes.
No.
I mean, I guess...
Well, not a lot of this is not.
Okay. So that's what I've got for summary. Some of it is what we're going to talk about today. So should we just dive into the episodes?
Yeah.
All right. We had a little discussion last week on whether it should be called Redux or Redo. I think we agreed on Redux.
Yeah.
Because we're not foreign.
Yeah, we're not French.
So...
And if you are French listening to us, you can just change it in your head.
So here's how I'll do it. I have a summary of every episode that I'll kind of run through, and I want you to add in things, Ben. And then I have my fun facts right after each episode.
All right.
All right, Ben. Redux, not called part one, but it is essentially part one because there's two parts. Redux was episode one of season five. This is the premiere, of course, of this season. And where we left off in our last excavation episode, part seven, Mulder was dead from an apparent suicide. Scully was before a committee and was crying, and
yeah,
she ID'd the body. So now we get the explanation. Now
and a twist no one saw coming.
Exactly.
He's not actually dead.
So just to summarize quickly, we find out that the Department of Defense has been spying on Mulder for at least the last 2 months. There was a guy who was in the apartment above Mulder's with surveillance. Mulder confronted him. Now, this is prior to the apparent suicide. And they got into a struggle over the gun. Mulder shoots this guy dead. Yeah. And then tells Scully about what's been going on. She agrees to incorrectly ID this Department of Defense worker as Mulder so that they could start on their mini investigation.
I do kind of like how I'm pretty sure that's not legal to do. And when nobody's much bothered by it, when it turns out that Mulder's actually alive.
Yeah, I love in the next episode where he rushes into the hospital, and I wrote in my notes, he's supposed to be dead, but he's running by everybody.
That's right.
All right, so someone inside, and as a reminder, in the last episode we talked about how Mulder has just been told by this guy named Michael Krichkow that everything he knows has all been part of a hoax.
Yeah.
And so he's really, his faith is shaken because he's realizing this whole, all of his endeavors that he's been going after, everything that he's worked towards has all been a lie, and it ended up causing Scully to get sick.
Yeah.
And so he's really upset. So someone inside the FBI is likely tied to the hoax meant to destroy Mulder and the sickness that infected Scully. But who is it? Well, we'll find out in the next two episodes. When you originally watched these, Ben, do you remember thinking that Skinner was the bad guy, or were you pretty sure he was good?
Oh, I always believe in Skinner.
Me too. Yeah. I mean, they go out of their way in these two episodes to make us think Skinner's bad.
Yeah.
But to me, there was never a chance.
No, I trust him.
All right. So probably my favorite part of this episode was when Michael Krichkow and Mulder are talking. Mulder has taken the ID card of the guy he killed and snuck him into the Department of Defense facility. And they have a nice conversation where he lays out this hoax mythology, now you could call it, because yeah, it sort of is the explanation for everything. Do you mind if I just read a few things here, that some quotes from this conversation? So yeah, I'll kind of give a setup and then I'll go into the quotes, and stop me at any time. So Krichkow tells him that the ID card he has gets him level 4 clearance, and that with that he may be able to find a cure for Scully's cancer. At the same time that this is happening, I'm just going to tell the story chronologically because that's how my notes are. Smoking Man breaks into Mulder's apartment still thinking he's dead. And this is, as far as I remember, the first time that we get the feeling that he has some sort of care for Mulder,
yeah,
other than just their cat and mouse relationship. Because
turns out he's about to become his dad.
Well, he gazes at a picture of young Mulder and Samantha, and a tear rolls down his cheek.
Yeah,
what a shocker!
Oh, he does have a heart.
We do know that he's. Wait, do we ever know for sure? Is he Mulder's dad for a fact?
Yeah.
Okay, I couldn't remember if it was.
No, it's a fact.
Okay, so. But, I mean, for viewers of this time...
I'll double-check if it's a fact.
Yeah, go check that out. Check that out while I read this stuff. Okay, so back to level 4 clearance. Mulder finds out that level 4...
Yep.
You found it out? He is his dad.
Oh, so Agent Spender and Fox are brothers.
Yes.
How about that?
Yeah, we'll get to Agent Spender here. Yeah. So Mulder finds out that Level 4 is a biological quarantine wing. It is an elaborate system for a storage of vast quantities of DNA. Mulder's asking DNA from who? And here is this semi-long quote from Kurchkow, but it's still pretty interesting. Virtually every American born since 1945, every immigrant, every indigenous person who's ever given blood or tissue to a government doctor. This is what I was telling you, Agent Mulder. This is the hoax into which you've been drawn. The roots go back 50 years to the end of World War II. Playing on a virulent national appetite for bogus revelation and a public newly fearful of something called the atom bomb, the U.S. military command began to fan the flame of what were being called flying saucer stories. There are truths which can kill a nation, Agent Mulder. The military needed something to deflect the attention away from their arms strategy. Global domination through the capability of total enemy annihilation. The nuclear card was fine as long as we alone could play it. But the generals and officials knew they could not win the public relations war. The business of America is war. Nothing drives the economy up faster. We needed a reason to justify... We needed a reason to keep spending money, and when there wasn't a war to justify it, we called it war anyway. The Cold War was essentially a 50-year public relations battle. The U.S. military saw a good thing in 1947 when the Roswell story broke. The more we denied it, the more people believed it. Aliens had landed a made-to-order war strategy for generals looking to develop their war chest.
Yeah.
And so this whole time that this big monologue is happening, we're seeing these flashes of real-life scenes and images from the news and of public leaders, political leaders, well-known events in history. It was effective at making his words have weight because you're juxtaposing his fake speech from X-Files with real-life images.
Oh, I knew he was lying.
I mean, it's a show, so it's not right. True. But I thought... I could see how Mulder was so convinced. So Kurchkow goes on to say that the whole thing was very fortuitous because the first supersonic flight was also in 1947. Then every experimental flight test that they were doing ended up being called a UFO. They almost got caught when the abduction story started taking off. A classified military operation above top secret was still ongoing, and it was being the abduction so that tests could be run on American citizens. Mulder says, but I've seen aliens. I've witnessed these things. And Kurchkow says, you've seen what they wanted you to see. The line between science and science fiction doesn't exist anymore. This is about control. The very element of life. DNA. The timing of the alien corpse hoax was planned so that Scully wouldn't be alive to examine it and disprove it.
Yeah.
Whoa. So then essentially Kurchkow is admitting that he was a part of what happened to Scully. But now he's on Mulder's side because... not only can Mulder find a cure for Scully on Level 4, but Kurchkow's son got sick during a biological attack during the Gulf War, and so he wants a cure for that, too.
Right.
So they're in league together. Mulder's all over the Department of Defense, ends up finding something. Smoking Man actually knows he's there, but lets him leave with this vial of something. We think it's a cure, but we don't really know. Oh, along the way, Mulder finds a room full of pregnant women, like all hooked up to those machines.
Yeah.
So there's... something not right happening.
Yeah.
Meanwhile...
that's how I feel every time I see a pregnant woman.
Meanwhile, as Mulder is starting to lose his faith in all this alien stuff, Scully has seemingly found a connection between the conspirators, you know, the ones that created the hoax, and her cancer through these microorganisms in the ice core that she was sampling in the last episode.
Right.
Yeah, so she sees that the DNA... hybridized, I'm not pronouncing this correctly, but alien virus stuff,
hybridized,
is the same stuff that gave her cancer. So she found evidence in her tissue sample that was also similar to something inside that ice core.
Yeah.
And then the episode ends with Mulder thinking he has not found the cure after all. Whew, what did you think about that first episode? Like, I know you said you didn't like the monologues, but how did you like the Department of Defense stuff?
It didn't do much for me. I think that the reason the middle ones... I mean, it's kind of interesting in all these episodes to see Mulder and Scully kind of flipping roles a little bit. She believes more, he believes less. So, to the extent that these episodes worked for me, it was because of that. The character arcs, but those don't really take off quite as much until later on. I think, and this is maybe, I think this is something we mentioned in previous X-Files episodes. I'm so sick of the Scully's testifying in tears about how Mulder's dead. They've pulled that trick like 5 times in this show so far. And so it's just kind of like, okay, we all know that he's not really dead. We all know. Let's just get on with it.
Did you end up watching any of that Inside the X-Files special that I sent you?
No.
This is just kind of an interesting side tangent, but if you are on Netflix watching these show, watching these episodes, there is something called Inside the X-Files, which aired on Fox after the finale, and it was sort of a setup because the movie happens after season 5.
We got to watch the movie next.
I was going to ask you, this is a little bit of a pause from what we were just talking about, but so the movie is next. And we could, if we stick with our plan to do a season per episode, we could next week or next time just do the movie. But
yeah,
I know that we've also said that we may want to talk about some of our favorite non-mythology episodes. So you can shoot this down. I've never told you this.
You'll do movie and some
so maybe movie and then maybe just the or non-mythology episodes that have happened through season 5.
Yeah, we can.
Because then when we're done with the show and we get to I Want to Believe, the 2008 movie or whatever it was, then we can do the back half of the show.
I like it. So maybe it's a good idea.
Maybe a top 5 non-mythology episodes on part 9.
All right.
Part 9. This is, honestly, how many parts do you think we're going to get to?
Well, too many.
6, 7. So, hold on a second. Movie, 1, 6, 7, 8, 9 seasons, right?
Yeah, so we got plus 4, 5.
Plus the 13. Final movie. Oh, and then
14.
The 14. Yeah. So now we at least there's an end in sight.
We're in the back half. That's something.
All right.
Well, then there's the revival.
Oh, yeah.
So 15.
For the revival, though, we're just going to wait till it's over. We're not going to do episode by episode.
No.
We're going to watch those 6 episodes.
And then we'll do 1 episode on them.
So 15.
Yeah, 15.
Oh, my gosh. There was a little bit of a talk, miracle stuff, with the doctor. Is that interesting to you?
Oh, where she's like, what if it's a miracle? I couldn't call it that.
Yeah.
Did I say that? I mean, it was fine.
Holy crap.
Oh, you jumped.
A match.
You super jumped.
Yeah.
I'm really scared.
I expected that. Night?
Sorry about that.
Not going to happen. Not unless we have a blazing hot probe.
This is the doctor talking to Scully. Happen.
Everything I think in my this life is the right
talk. I don't think this is it.
You don't think so?
They had another later conversation.
I'm almost positive this is where it is.
Now they're talking about probes.
Well, she's talking about her.
Not even remotely the same as miracles.
This is the blood sample stuff. Oh, yeah, this is not it, because she's about to go yell at Skinner. Well, that clip was only good for scaring you. I'm
Should
sorry.
We move on to Redux 2?
No. I got some. Remember, I got
fun facts.
Fun facts. Number one, this episode originally aired on November 2nd, 1997. Both of these episodes were written by the series creator Chris Carter, which may seem like obvious, but he didn't write all the episodes.
Yeah.
The tagline was changed from "I Want to Believe" in the credits to "All Lies Lead to the Truth."
Oh, I miss that. I don't think that's accurate.
Well, it's probably not. It's probably not actually accurate.
Yeah.
But, yeah. On Netflix, on my TV, and I'm guessing this is not just on my TV, but when the tagline comes on, I Want to Believe, for some reason it does not appear. It's just blank. Like, it makes a sound, boom, and then there's nothing.
Huh. I didn't pay enough attention.
A critic that was recently re-watching these episodes said, Redux Part 1 was a pretty good episode back in 1997. It's not a very good episode now.
Yeah, I think I agree.
He went on to note that the idea that Mulder had killed himself was not effective because the show's audience knew that a movie had been scheduled for release in the summer of 1998.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. So, all right, Redux 2, you ready for this?
Let's
or should I go try to find that miracle talk
again? I think we should move on to Redux 2.
My notes say that around the 27-minute mark of this episode, there's a talk about miracles. I went to the 27 mark,
and it
was just Scully getting her blood taken.
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry, people. I tried.
That's okay. We did get to hear some good stuff about probes, though.
All right. Redux Part 2. So Mulder rushes to the hospital to go see Scully, like we mentioned. It was kind of weird because they think he's dead, but, you know, whatever. Smoking Man goes and talks to somebody who I repeatedly refer to in my notes as the Godfather member of the syndicate.
But, the one who really boring to listen to.
But his actual title is the First Elder, so that tells me he is the leader of the syndicate. So I'll try to not say Godfather, although that's who he reminds me of.
Yeah.
So First Elder and Smoking Man are talking. They tell Smoking Man says he wants Mulder to come to their side. He's going to try to win his loyalty, but the Godfather sends some other guy to go follow Smoking Man and tells him proceed with the plan. So we'll find out later that the plan is not good for Smoking Man. They tried to assassinate him.
Yeah.
You weren't paying attention.
Oh, I was reading about the First Elder. Yeah, so why is Smoking Man out of the group?
I think it's because, as we see through this episode, Smoking Man, it seems like one of his responsibilities was handling things in the FBI.
Yeah.
And later in the episode, the First Elder is going to see Skinner at one of those panels listening to some stuff that, and they're like, why is Skinner now investigating? Already Mulder and Scully's been a problem. So I think it's just that they feel like Smoking Man's not doing his job.
Oh.
But still, it's a little bit extreme.
Yeah, it is.
You've been working together since, what year do you think Samantha got kidnapped? Oh. Like the 60s, 50s? How old do you think
Mulder is? I don't think they're that old.
70s?
Yeah, say 1972.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, they've been working together forever, and then he's like, you know what? Let's just kill him. So,
you know, I'll make you a promise right here, Matt. If I ever feel like you're not pulling your weight on the podcast, I'm not going to have you killed.
Did you happen to notice what the, if you're on, you're probably on the page or on Wikipedia that has all
no,
the
No, I'm looking at the syndicate. First Elder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the guy who, actually, maybe I'll save this for later. Okay. So back to Redux Part 2. In other news, Krichkow gets called into... Oh, Krichkow was already caught in the last episode. We didn't really mention that, but they know that he gave Mulder information. So he's sitting before a committee, not really imprisoned or anything, and he tells this committee that he, besides taking orders from the Department of Defense, he also takes orders from Rausch, a congressional lobbying firm. Now, this at the time of this episode, it makes it seem like there's a huge connection. Like Skinner writes down the word Rausch.
Yeah.
He goes and investigates it, like we mentioned. Seems like this is going to be like a big player. As far as I know, this is the only time it appears in the show.
Yeah.
Maybe
Skinner's just concerned about congressional lobbying.
It's a biotech company or a biology company. I'm not really sure. So
too much money in politics.
So, like I said, Smoking Man's trying to win over Mulder. So before he's before the attempted assassination, that's at the end of the episode, Smoking Man actually brings Samantha to meet Mulder at a restaurant, his sister.
Yeah.
And
I don't think it was really her.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask you, because it looks just like the girl, not the young girl clones, the older clones of Samantha that we've seen in the past. So we've seen this actress before, but this one, to me, it seemed like this could be legit. Like, this is the one that Smoking Man raised as his daughter. But you're saying no?
No, I don't think so.
What are your reasonings for that?
Why would he do it? He got clones. Go with clone.
Okay. Also, during around this time, Mulder realizes that Scully probably started to develop her cancer after she removed that chip from her neck.
Oh.
And so inside that vial that he has... Oh, you're pausing me.
Yeah, PlayStation 2 game, X-Files, Resist or Serve, Rausch Bodyguards... are villains. So there are guards at Rausch Biotech.
Okay.
So it comes back in the video game.
Just the video. They're like, okay, we got that hanging. Let's just use it.
I think so.
So in that vial that he had taken, the liquid inside was just water, but inside the water was a microchip. And if you could if you put this chip into Scully's neck where the old chip was, it will make her cancer go away. I don't know how, but that's the logic of the show. So.
I like it.
What?
Let's see. No, I don't have. Let's see. There's a reference to Rausch Technologies in the beginning, which is the season 6 premiere.
Okay, that's good.
Not like a conversation. You just see like the words Rausch Technologies in the background.
Dang.
So they must have been. I think Chris Carter kind of liked to do this.
Like come up with a good idea.
And then just reference it and never explain it. You know, it kind of reminds me of
what Damon
Lindelof did. With that other series.
Okay. So, back to Samantha and Mulder. I forgot to mention that he tried to convince her that Smoking Man, who she thinks of as a father, was a liar. But she does not believe him. It sort of... I don't know. I didn't feel like it paid off very well because she seeing her brother for the first time, but she's mad that he's calling her dad a liar, and then she just leaves with Smoky Man, and she never really appears. I don't know if she ever appears on the show again, to be honest.
Oh, here's a fun fact.
Okay.
A possible front, I'm reading from Wikipedia here, so there's that. A possible front for the group, evidenced in the episode Redux 2, was a biotechnology firm. Oh, the group in question is the Syndicate.
The Syndicate, yeah.
Yeah, called Roush. Reportedly, Carter named the company after USA Today TV critic Matt Roush, who was an influential early champion of the X-Files. Roush's facilities were used in some experiments involving the virus, as shown in the sixth season premiere, The Beginning. Also, according to Alvin Kurzweil, I don't know who that is, when the alien takeover was set to commence in December 2012, the Syndicate would have seized control of the United States via the Federal Emergency Management Agency, which had the power to suspend constitutional government upon declaration of a national emergency.
Whoa. When does that happen?
It doesn't.
I hope we get there. I hope that actually is.
No, that doesn't happen.
So where are you getting that information from?
That's what their plan was, according to Alvin Kurzweil.
Oh, like that's the writer's plan, but they never executed that?
I don't know who Alvin Kurzweil is. Well, I clicked on his name.
Important.
It took me to the movie. So maybe it's somebody in the movie. Oh yeah, it's a character in the movie. So we'll hear about that in the movie, but that's never going to happen because the Syndicate dies.
I don't remember that.
They all get killed.
I don't remember when they were they all like in a. It's coming back to me. Were they all in a warehouse or something together, and they get killed all at once?
I think so. Hey, I think Roush Technologies is just supposed to be their legitimate front company.
Oh wow, that's really underplayed. They should have pushed that more.
Yeah, they don't like to explain.
I've got unbelievably good news. I thought that Miracle Talk at 27 minutes was in part one, good news. I found it here in part two. So let me go ahead and hit that music. Don't get scared this time. Putting it on. Here we go.
Might show up first in a PET scan.
I made it.
You're not holding your breath, are you?
I'm going after your cancer as aggressively as I know how, Dana. If I can jumpstart your immune system, if I can get your cytolytic cells to recognize your tumor as something to attack, then there's a chance.
Have you ever witnessed a miracle, Dr. Zuckerman?
I don't know that I have. But I have seen people make recoveries. Come back from so far gone I can't explain it.
Isn't that a miracle?
Maybe they are miracles. But I don't dare call them that.
What a wishy-washy doctor. Have some conviction, doctor.
Yeah, totally agree.
I'm really sick of Scully's cancer. I mean, I'm sure she is, too, but...
It was like, end the storyline?
Yeah.
It's over after this, right?
Is it?
I think.
Oh, thank God, because it feels like it's been going on since season two or something.
I'm sure we talked about this on the show, but when I was watching that... after the finale special on Netflix,
yeah,
they mentioned that the only reason they even ever invented the storyline with Scully being...
Because she was pregnant.
Yeah, being given cancer is because she became pregnant during the filming of season one.
Yeah.
So they needed to have her gone during parts of season two. And that ended up being a central story to the entire mythology. In fact, if she hadn't got pregnant, I don't know what the show would be about. I mean, other than the colonization. But there's a big character arc there that exists just because in real life she got pregnant. So
right.
Kind of interesting. All right, back to the show. This is towards the wrap-up here. Smoky Man still trying to win over Mulder.
Just to be clear, the wrap-up of Redux 2, not the wrap-up of this episode.
Right. I want to ask you honestly, and just be honest here. I'm trying to kind of give a summary here. Are you sort of bored with X-Files at this point? Like
a little bit.
Looking ahead and seeing that we have 14 parts.
But I want to keep with it.
We're not doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll be honest on my end. I'm pumped for these episodes for some reason.
Well, that's great.
I was really into it, so I feel recharged about the
X-Files. I'm good.
All right, let me keep going.
Yeah.
Smoky Man, don't
let my negativity pull you down.
Thank you. Smoky Man, still trying to win over Mulder, tells him that Kritschkow's monologue and all the things he told Mulder about the hoax was a lie, that the aliens are real, and that if...
There's a hoax of a hoax.
Yeah, so if Mulder quits the FBI and comes to work for him, all of Mulder's problems will go away. He'll let him know about everything. And he says, no deal. You murdered my father. You killed Scully's sister. And if Scully dies, I'll kill you. I'll put you down.
Yeah.
Kind of dramatic.
But guess what? Didn't murder his father.
Well, he had Krychek do it, didn't he?
No.
Who had Krychek do it then?
It's not his father.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Okay, yeah, you're right. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, the writers are still trying to make us think that Skinner's a bad guy. So Section Chief Blevins.
Oh, writers, stop going back to that well. So Section, no one buys it.
Section Chief Blevins meets with Mulder, and this is part of what the first Elder was doing. He wants to get rid of Skinner. So Blevins wants Mulder to name Skinner as the murderer of that DOD guy.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Scully's trying to find her faith again before she dies. She even has a little line where she tells Mulder that she'll pray for him, which is kind of nice. Then
I don't believe her.
In one of the final scenes of the episode, I believe her. I think she's going to pray for Mulder.
No.
Mulder's sitting before this committee, giving his response and explanation as to what all had happened over the last few weeks. And he actually, instead of naming Skinner, names Section Chief Blevins as the man that's responsible for spying on Mulder. And this guy has been around since the first episodes, but not extensively. And I kind of have a funny note about that later. So this is the guy that's been part of the conspiracy since the beginning. And now he gets caught, but he doesn't go to jail because someone comes and kills him. Another guy from the committee just shoots him in his office, dead.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Smoking Man is also shot by the Godfather's assassin.
I said you were going to call him the first
I know, time. I can't help it. Oh, my notes say Godfather.
That's fine.
Skinner tells Mulder that Smoking Man is dead. Shot through his window. His body wasn't found, but a picture of Mulder and Samantha was found covered in blood. How creepy is that? Mulder doesn't know that they have a connection.
Yeah.
So he hears that this guy's dead, missing, but a picture of him was found there.
Turns out Scully's cancer just was in season 4. So it seems like it's been longer than it is. But I'm still sick of that storyline.
Did you find out how long we're going to have to deal with it?
I think it's done.
Good.
She's going to get pregnant in season 7.
Oh, that's always away, though. That's like 3 episodes away for us. Like 3 podcast episodes.
Yeah, yeah.
More
than 3 episodes
away. So Skinner tells Mulder that Blevins was also on payroll for Roush, that biotechnology company, for about 4 years. Yeah, like you said, Scully's cancer is now gone into remission at the end of this episode. And while Skinner goes to see Scully, Mulder just starts crying again. Lots of crying.
Yeah.
Mulder cried a lot in these episodes.
Keep it together, Mulder.
I don't remember where I put this in my notes, and maybe it's in a different episode, but I don't think I caught this when I first watched the show, because I really believe they were just really close friends.
Yeah.
But now watching it again, it seems obvious that Mulder is in love with Scully. You feel that way?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I didn't catch it when I was a kid.
No.
Yeah, missed that. All right, ready for the fun facts?
Yeah.
Well, Redux Part 2 aired on November 9th, 1997. It is the first part of an episode. Redux Part 1 received mixed to negative reviews, but this part was well received with lots of positive reviews from critics. Fans also seem to like it. Let me see here. Kind of an interesting little note. Where is it about? Oh, never mind. This is for later. Redux being a part of a 3-part story arc became a milestone for the series. It marked the first time in which Fox Mulder loses his belief in extraterrestrial life and the revelation that someone inside the FBI had tried to discredit Mulder and Scully's work on the X-Files. Chris Carter, when talking about Redux and Redux 2, noted that he wanted to tie up a lot of loose ends from the past season and play the idea that the conspiracy is a hoax and that it had been done to hide various terrestrial and temporal misdeeds. Despite being the season premiere, Redux was the second episode produced of the season due to David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson being needed for filming on the X-Files movie. Uh-huh. So the first movie or the first episode produced was the third episode, which is about the Lone Gunman, sort of their origin story.
Right.
So they did that first. Let's see. Oh, yeah. Okay. In Redux Part 2, the role of Quiet Willie was originally intended for the character the gray-haired man, but was rewritten for a new character when the actor Morris Panch was unavailable. So now, do you know who Quiet Willie is?
He's the guy who tries to kill the Smoking Man.
And he's also the guy in the next couple episodes that takes Cassandra to the bridge. So when we get there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So we'll watch for that.
I actually have no idea who it is. I just read
It's the bald guy who never talks, but he's the one that was pushing Cassandra's wheelchair in the next episode we're going to talk about. So I know that you watch these episodes. I know that you do. Do you watch them when you're working? So you're not really like looking.
Yeah.
You're more listening.
Yeah. So a character like Quiet Willy doesn't work as well in that format.
Talk.
Exactly.
Yeah, Quiet Willy isn't his official name. It's a name the fans
give him. I look over.
The fans give him this name because he never talks. And the actor's actual real name is Willy Ross.
Yeah. I had no idea this was a character in these episodes, and I swear I watched them last week. I'm going to Google him, if I can.
Google Quiet Willy. Yeah. Redux Part 2 was highly praised by Carter, which is funny because it's his show. So
we knocked that one out of the park.
He says, I think that Redux 2 is one of the best episodes we've ever done. Frank Sputnitz, who we also know works with the X-Files, said that Redux 2 is one of my favorite episodes. I think the story was... Our story has a crystal purity and clarity, and it just comes to a perfect point for me. Gillian Anderson says, I thought it was a terrific episode, especially the scenes in the hearing room and the whole progression of Scully's praying.
There's naked women on the Google image search, so don't search for Quiet Willy, everyone.
Okay, that's a good warning.
Yeah.
I mean, you should have put X-Files in there, too, probably.
Don't edit that out. It's a good warning for people.
I'm not. Okay. I'll just keep reading while you search that.
Yep. No, everyone's fully clothed if you add X-Files after Quiet Willy.
Excellent. Maybe don't lead with the image search.
but that's the whole point, is I wanted to find out what he looked like. And I didn't think that was him.
Here's the thing I was trying to find earlier about fans liking these three episodes. The finale from last season, then Redux 1 and 2. In 1999, the channel FX had a Thanksgiving marathon where fans selected all the episodes. And these three episodes were presented as the best mythology episodes. I disagree.
I disagree,
but
too.
Just keep in mind, this was only 2 years. That marathon happened only 2 years after this episode aired. But still, if these are the best ones, we're in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, no, I like the other two.
I like them, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Critics.
Quiet Willy springs into action. He's got a gun there.
Yep. The critics heavily criticized the Skinner as traitor plot, noting sardonically that the production team aren't going to reveal him as the antagonist. And the shock... Okay, this is really funny. Listen to this part. I know you haven't been listening so far.
No, I have been listening.
The shock villain in the room reveal that about Section Chief Blevins. Now, here's what they say. They thought it was dumb because it's a character so important in the framework of the series that barring his appearance in the season 4 finale, we haven't seen him in 94 episodes.
That's right.
Because I believe he only appeared at the very early days of the X-Files show and then at the season 4 finale. Yeah, so that's kind of funny. And I think that's all I have for Redux 2. So,
all right,
two down, three to go.
Okay,
try to get through these a little faster.
That might be good.
I'll fast forward through this.
Okay,
let's talk about Patient X and Red in the Black, kind of back to back. Because again, these are That's what I should have done for Redux 1 and 2.
That's okay,
especially when they have the same name.
That's how we learn.
All right, so Patient X.
All right, if we hadn't, I might not have found Quiet Willy if you.
Okay, here we go. But, I mean, it's a warning for the audience.
Right.
I mean.
Don't search for Quiet Willy.
Patient X, episode 13, The Black and the Red, episode 14 of season 5. Before we go into the actual description, I should say, you know, just like with Lost, I'm pretty good at remembering the episode titles.
Yeah.
And I can be like, oh, yeah, in that episode, this happens, right?
Yeah.
So, I actually used to be really good. I'm not anymore. I used to be really good about X-Files titles just in the same way. And I remember telling you this before, that I had a checklist where I'd make sure I saw every episode of the X-Files. This is before Netflix, before DVDs. So you had to catch them on, like I had missed a whole bunch. So I had to watch a lot of these episodes on FX when they were being re-aired.
Right.
Okay. So I remember for some reason, The Black and the Red being one of my favorite episodes of X-Files ever back when I was originally watching it.
I think it's pretty good.
Okay, good. Yeah. Glad that you agree. All right. So trying to tell us a little faster. The show opens with a monologue by Mulder, like you hate. This one was about gods.
Oh, yeah. I thought that...
Gods and pantheons.
Thankfully, that it was over after that.
Okay. I think, though, this marks the first time we've seen these faceless alien rebels.
Yeah, so they look a lot like the alien bounty
hunter. They do. It's like the same actor.
That's why I thought that they were the same person.
I totally agree, and I thought that when I originally watched it, but it seems like they're on different sides, because at the end of this episode, a faceless guy is going to be attacked by the bounty hunter. And then
I'm going to see if it is the same actor.
Yeah, go ahead and look. It must be. I mean, how dumb is that, though, if it is? If they're like, hey, we got him here.
Yeah.
Let's just have him do both. Okay, so while you're looking that up, I'll talk about this. They're not in Russia. I think they're in Kazakhstan or something.
It's basically Russia.
UFO lands, or no, I don't know, more like crashes. Two young guys from Russia see it. Then all of a sudden, the faceless aliens come out. And like I said, this is the first time we've seen these guys. Marita Karaverbius. How do you say her last name? Karaverbius? Let's just say Marita. Marita and Krychek meet up, and it looks like it's the first time, but later in this episode, they're going to start making out, so it seems like
they probably saw each other before.
They pretended to not know each other, so they're talking
about
what did these boys see. Does Krychek know? He's not going to tell her anything, but you know, here's what I'll do. I'll talk through each of the little storylines instead of going chronologically.
Oh, yeah, that's what we do in the Game of Thrones reviews.
Okay,
yeah.
So help me out with this, because I won't be following my notes exactly, but basically Krychek gets one of these guys. I don't remember his I think his name is Dmitry, one of these young, it's like a teenage boy,
yeah,
who's speaking Russian. And kind of asking him what he knows, but he actually ends up injecting the black oil into this guy because Krychek and his people are testing a vaccine, and it seems like they finally found a cure.
Yeah.
You're
right. This is the first time we've seen the alien bounty hunters.
Okay, good. So later then, Krychek is going to try to work with the syndicate, which I was actually thinking about this. We're told that Russia and America's racing to try to see who can find a vaccine. But if you're talking about the existence of the human species, why not just work together? Like, at that point, is it really a country thing?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Especially with the whole Cold War thing. Kind of got to get past that sometime,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, get over it eventually. So Krychek, working with the syndicate, gets them a vaccine by the end of this two-part episode. And Marita, who during the course of these two episodes was exposed to the black oil, she is cured by it, so we know that the cure works.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mulder is on a panel about extraterrestrials, and he is playing the role of the skeptic in this. So we're still seeing here 13 episodes later after the premiere, he is a non-believer now.
You know, and I don't think I certainly didn't catch the first time I was watching these episodes that this was kind of a season-lined story arc.
Yeah.
Because no doubt in between, you just saw 13 episodes of Mulder being back in the saddle of totally believing in every...
Well, maybe, but who knows?
Well, no, that's how, like, the standalone episodes ignore any of these character developments. So Mulder as a doubter doesn't really come through in any of them.
Yeah, I can't guarantee that because I haven't rewatched those episodes, but it's possible.
I'm going to guarantee it.
You know,
not the same actor, by the way.
Not the same actor. Okay.
No.
That's so weird. They look very similar.
They do.
Interesting note, Ben. When I was watching that special on the X-Files, that, again, was on Netflix, they showed a bunch of scenes from the X-Files as they're doing their voiceover about the show.
Yeah.
And almost every scene is something that you and I have watched in these mythology episodes. There was barely any clips from the standalone episodes, which makes me think...
No one cared?
No one... All of those are pointless.
Yeah.
The only ones that really matter are these mythology episodes.
That's correct.
So that's sort of sad, seeing as how they had about 100 episodes by this point. No, over that.
Yeah.
So, all right, reading on. Mulder then, again, playing the skeptic, is shooting down the claims of this woman who is being called Patient X, but we eventually find out she's Cassandra Spender.
Yeah.
And she's claiming that she has been abducted tons of times over the course of the last 30 years. She calls sites where there's a lot of alien activities lighthouses, which is a phrase that will come back later from Krychek. Mulder's on the panel, doesn't believe the woman. His hypnotist, who helped him through regression hypnosis in the first, before the episode, or before X-Files existed, where Mulder first realized what had happened with Samantha, that hypnotist is in the audience, so they meet up, Mulder finds out that this guy works with Cassandra, so he gets to meet Cassandra. Cassandra loves me, Mulder, because he's like a hero to her.
Oh, yeah.
She says that he's a hero because he saved Dwayne Barry's life. And that story of Dwayne Barry saved her life because she had been a multiple abductee for 30 years. She then says some interesting things.
I don't think it saved Dwayne Barry's life.
No. What happened to Dwayne?
I think he died.
Here's some interesting little tidbits from Cassandra, who seems to be in the know. She says, now is a time of war and stress among the alien nations. The different races are in upheaval, and she feels that she's about to be summoned by the aliens. She believes that the government is involved, but they don't want us to know the full story. The aliens are here to deliver a message, but other forces are at work. So, like I said, Mulder's on full on skeptic mode, so he doesn't really believe anything. Then we meet a character named Jeffrey Spender.
Yeah.
And we find out that this is Cassandra Spender's son. He also works for the FBI, so.
And he's Mulder's brother.
Eventually we'll find out that, but yeah. not in these episodes.
I don't think Chris Carter had even found that out yet.
There was a kind of a cool scene where Marita is giving a report to the Godfather and the Syndicate, and as I was researching these episodes, I found out this is the first time that a woman was ever shown with the Syndicate in that room.
Yeah.
It's always been older men up until then. Well Manicured Man is there. He's my favorite member of the Syndicate. Do you know which one that is?
Yeah, he's the one who likes Marita.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you about that. Now, in case you can't picture him, this is, if you know the movie better, which a lot of people do, he's the one that is Mulder's informant in the movie and ends up dying in the movie.
He's,
what's his relationship to Marita?
He's well manicured.
Yeah, gray hair.
Yeah.
Suit.
He's well
kind of
manicured.
English accent.
Right.
So I noticed that there seemed to be a connection between him and Marita. He really cared about saving her, but do we know the history there?
Probably. I don't. I'll find it out.
It seemed more fatherly, though, than romantic.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he's her dad.
She's busy with a cry check anyway.
Exactly. Okay. So, now this is the episode where we find out that timetable. So, well-manicured...
Good news.
Okay.
Google search for well-manicured man. Completely clean.
Excellent.
Completely clean.
Well-manicured man is saying that he thinks what is taking place is the staging for our group abduction. And then one of the final phases before it begins. But what's it? I don't know. Somebody else says, we are years away from that. 15 years away, if we believe their timetable. So that's, now this little line, it says, if we believe their timetable. This could be Chris Carter's out. If he wants to say, you know, the Syndicate thought it was 2012, but it was always 2015.
Previously on the X-Files.
Yeah.
If we believe their timetable.
Exactly. All right. So then after this scene is where we start to have Krychek reaching out to the Syndicate. All right. Scully and Cassandra start to connect because of their abduction co-experiences. Cassandra again reiterates something we've heard in the past, that aliens are great healers. Scully tries to warn Cassandra not to take the chip out of her neck because that's what gave her cancer, and Cassandra says, I would never do that. That's how they summon me. So she likes her little chip in the back of her neck, which seems kind of weird.
Wouldn't?
Yeah.
I mean.
Then we go to Skyland Mountain, where is the place where Scully was taken by Duane Barry years ago. A bunch of people are there. They've all been summoned, you could say, by the aliens. But then not the colonizers, but the faceless aliens show up and start burning everybody. It's a massacre. The Syndicate wants to put a stop to these types of actions before it is determined that they can't handle it themselves, and the colonists intervene. Now, that's a quote, and this is the first time that we've heard the term the colonists. So this episode is pretty huge.
So Chris Carter decided he maybe should start figuring some things out.
I think he's like, okay, we've introduced some characters. We need to start giving some names to these groups.
5 years into this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, and then the episode ends with Scully feeling beckoned by the aliens like other people had. We've got Quiet Willie bringing Cassandra to this bridge.
Right.
Like Scully goes to this bridge. A bunch of other people are there.
This is the final appearance of Quiet Willie, I believe.
It is. Yeah. Well, no, it's not. In the next episode.
Oh.
But it's the final appearance of the actual guy, because what happens here is first the faceless aliens come, start burning everybody.
Yeah.
But then a different UFO with, I'm guessing, the colonizer shows up. They use like a spotlight type weapon, and it disintegrates the faceless rebels.
Right.
In the process, Quiet Willie was killed, and so then one of the bounty hunters that can shapeshift took his place.
I missed that too.
So
bounty hunters are another character I struggle with in my viewing format.
So going forward, every time we see Quiet Willie, which is only for the next episode, whenever he's driving around or with the Syndicate, it's actually the bounty hunter.
Right.
Okay. So that's the end of the first part, and we'll just run right into the red and the black. This is the scene where the opening of this, we find out Smoking Man's still alive. He's hiding out in a cabin in Canada. He sends a letter to Jeffrey Spender at the FBI, where he talks about being his father. So, but at the time of this scene, we don't know it's going to Jeffrey Spender. We just find out at the end. So Marita is still, wait, let's see here. Yeah, Marita's sick at the end of this episode, or at the beginning of this episode. She's received the black oil, and while Macker Man's looking over her, he believes that Krychek has a vaccine, which we've already talked about. And again, we hear this conversation between these two where they're thinking maybe they should team up with the rebels instead of the alien colonists. Maybe this is their big resistance. So what happened is the syndicate was able to capture one of the faceless rebels, right, and they're planning to turn it over to the colonists.
Yeah.
But, well, Macroban's like, no, don't turn them over. Let's actually team up with these guys instead and try to avoid the colonization altogether.
It's a much better plan.
Yes, but the whole syndicate's against it. And I kind of think, and I don't have substantial proof for this, but I think that this incident in this episode is the catalyst for Will Manicure Man being Mulder's informant in the movie.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, so, I like that theory.
All right. Let's see here. I think I summarized that well, so I'll skip down. Do you have anything you want to say about any of the stuff that we've been talking about? I'm guessing you don't remember seeing any of it.
Oh, no, I saw some. I remember seeing, well, Krychek tries to kill the smoking man.
Well, he doesn't try. He just says, he tells, who was he talking to? Will Manicure Man. We could kill him now, but I think Will Manicure Man sees that Smoking Man has some, attributes that they could use to their benefit.
Yeah.
So Krychek, meanwhile, goes to Mulder to try to win him over, because remember, Mulder doesn't believe anymore. So he starts telling him about this war, about the colonization of Earth. He says that Skyline Mountain, the bridge in Pennsylvania, Kazakhstan, all of these are lighthouses. So we're hearing that term again, where the colonization will begin. And then there's kind of a cool little quote from Krychek, and this is where that video game got its name. So Krychek says, one law, fight or die. One rule, resist or serve. Kind of reminded me of Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
You win.
You fight or die. Well, you got to win with Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Krychek says that he was sent by the Will Manicure Man and that together they can save the rebel alien. Okay, so just to summarize quickly here, they tell Mulder where this rebel alien is. For some reason, Mulder decides to work with him. I don't know why.
Right.
There's no explanation to why. All of a sudden, he's like, okay, I don't believe in aliens anymore, but now I will. And I hate you, Krychek, but I will help you.
Yeah.
So he just does it. Scully and him go. We see Quiet Willie driving a truck with something in the back, and we're led to believe it's this captured faceless alien, but it's not Quiet Willie. It's the alien bounty hunter, the shapeshifter.
Right.
He has that stiletto, which is the stabby knife thing that like pops open. It's pretty cool.
Right.
So Mulder goes. He catches up to the truck. He sneaks in the back. The alien bounty hunter comes around. He's going to kill Mulder and the alien, but then another UFO shows up, and Mulder loses time here, something we saw a lot in season one, where there's kind of a flashing light, and then he wakes up and doesn't know what happened. So both aliens are gone. I'm thinking it looks like the colonizers, I guess we don't know who it was. We don't know if it's the faceless rebels or the colonizers, but somebody came in and took both the bounty hunter and the faceless rebel. Do you have any idea who it was?
Oh, I bet it was the colonizers.
It seems like it was the colonizers to me.
Yeah.
But who knows?
It's my theory.
Let me take a look here. This is my note says, Mulder's in the truck and he is going to get caught. A UFO shows up above the truck and a new faceless alien beams in to help his rebel friend. Both sides are holding their own stiletto weapons. This is really dumb. Mulder yells, no, for some reason. Like, nothing bad is necessarily happening other than he just doesn't want to die.
Right.
And he starts shooting his gun. The scene ends and next we see Mulder in the truck, but everybody's missing. All the aliens are gone. Meanwhile, Marita's cured. Mulder tells Scully he doesn't know what happened. And then Spender receives that letter and finds out that Smoking Madness is dead.
Well, he doesn't know it's Smoking Madness.
Well, yeah, he doesn't know. But
yeah.
That's the end of that episode. So there, I knocked out two with that one.
Oh, that's awesome.
Do you want my fun facts?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to start. I'm going to find a different host for the next X-Files episode. Patient X.
No one else is going to do. I'm going to redeem myself with a real life X-File here in a minute.
Patient X aired on March 1st, 1998. my notes confirm that's Kazakhstan and not Russia that the opening scene takes place in.
Yeah, but they're the same thing, basically.
In Russia, now this is, I had to actually get this off of Wikipedia because it wasn't clear to me. In Russia, Krychuk is working against the orders of his superiors. He kidnaps the infected Dmitry and flees to the U.S., sewing shut the boy's eyes, nose, and mouth to keep the black oil from leaving his body. Ugh.
He didn't do a very good job.
Well,
though,
the boy like ripped open the stitches. Oh. That was sick.
I'd probably do the same thing if someone sewed my eyes shut.
I suppose that's true. Scully finds the victims of the attack had implants in the back of their neck and all claim to be abductees. Mulder believes that they were led there by the military, not aliens. Mulder is called by Marita, who kidnapped Dmitry. I can't remember why I put that there. That seems like we already talked about that. Oh, yeah, okay, here we go. The episode marks the first appearance of Chris Owens as Jeffrey Spender. But, Ben,
yeah,
this is not this actor's first appearance on the show.
Right, I knew this.
Owens previously appeared in earlier episodes, the first being The Musings of a Cigarette-Smoking Man, and the second being Demons, where he appeared as a young smoking man.
Right.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
He also appeared in the episode The Postmodern Prometheus, as like a monster person named the Great Mutato. But he was in a lot of makeup, so
probably didn't recognize him.
Not as obvious.
Right.
Carter explained that David Duchovny had taken careful notice of Owen's acting abilities and requested that he return to the series in some capacity. Heeding Duchovny's advice, Carter recreated the role of Jeffrey Spender just for him. That's interesting. The actress that played Cassandra, Veronica Cartwright, was nominated in the category of Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series in the 1998 Emmy Awards. Did not win. These two episodes were collected on, and I'll tell you why I have this note here in a second. They're collected on the X-Files Mythology Volume 3 Colonization DVD set, which all involved the alien colonization plans. And the reason I'm bringing that up is, as a reminder, how I got my list of mythology episodes is by looking at the DVDs, seeing which episodes they listed there, and then we're following the exact track as those DVDs. So if you don't have Netflix, just go track down all these DVDs from 10 to 15 years ago, and you're set.
That's right.
Okay. You want to hear a few critical responses to these episodes?
No.
You want to skip that?
Yeah.
Let me see if I have anything funny to say about this. Why don't you say something for a second?
Well, so you got the mythology.
You don't have anything. All right. Red of the Black aired on March 8th, 1998.
Well, there's only one more volume after Colonization.
Yeah. And Red of the Black is the episode where we're supposed to believe Mulder, in some ways inexplicably, gets his belief back in extraterrestrials. There wasn't a definitive moment other than Krychuk coming to him and trying to convince him where I feel like, oh, this is why Mulder believes again.
Right.
Other than maybe when he lost time and saw those guys beamed away a little bit. I don't know, though. But they probably were like, well, we have to get him back to normal, so today's the day.
Yeah.
Carter called working on this episode the most challenging and logically complex projects of the season.
I don't know if logic... there's a certain amount of make it up as you go along.
Carter and the producer of the series talked Fox into allowing the episodes to be slightly more expensive because they would lead into the soon-to-be-released X-Files movie. That's interesting. He explained that we convinced them to spend the extra money to do extra special work because it was all leading up to when the movie would be released.
Yeah.
Rob Bowman, who directed that the X-Files movie, later recounted, "I was supposed to direct The Red and the Black, but we were prepping for reshoots of the movie, so I couldn't do it. Chris had to direct the episode. He was so mad at me." Yeah. The tagline for this episode, instead of
"Stop doing such a good job on my movie, Rob."
The tagline for this episode is "Resist or Serve," instead of "The Truth is Out There." All right. The end.
No.
That's the episode title.
Yeah. Turk ya.
The last episode that we're going to talk about here on part 8. Of this 14-part series or more. Episode 20 of Season 5, The End. Episode opens with a chess tournament. We've got Gibson Praise, this telepathic... Is he precog or telepathic? Maybe both. Some special kid.
Well, he's not precog.
He's playing chess against an adult.
That's where you can see the future in your mind.
Yeah, so he's telepathic, maybe.
Yeah.
So Gibson's playing chess. He's doing well. There's an assassin up in, because this is happening in a big arena, there's an assassin up in the bleachers or rafters. Yeah, well, I'm not really sure where.
Yeah.
Gonna kill this kid. We don't know why, but doesn't work out because Gibson can read minds, so he just moves. And
somehow they sold out an entire stadium for a chess tournament.
Well, this kid's a prodigy. Like, right. It's unbelievable that this young 10-year-old or even younger is able to beat everybody. So what we eventually find out, fast-forwarding this kid's storyline, is he can read minds, so he's not actually good at chess. He just knows what the other guy is going to do.
Right.
And so that's how he became so good. This episode introduces us to a new agent, Agent Diana Fowley, who, although she's never appeared before, immediately starts working with Falk, or with Mulder and Scully for no apparent reason.
Again. Don't worry. She's going to die.
She didn't die. You weren't paying attention.
Shot.
You don't know what happened in any of these episodes. Okay.
What do you mean she got shot?
I'll get there.
Okay.
So at the beginning of the episode, Krychek parachutes into Canada where Smoky Man is and tells him to come back. Syndicate right. needs him. Then we see that agent, Special Agent Spender, Jeffrey, as some people call him, has been getting promotions. And he's getting cases that seem to be above his level. And we know that this is because the Syndicate has influence there in the FBI. After we're introduced to Agent Fowley, we find out that she started in the FBI in 1991, the same time that Mulder started. And later, Scully finds out from the Lone Gunman that they, both Fowley and Mulder, dated right after they left the Academy. So right. there is some history here. Scully's super jealous, especially when she sees there's like a brief scene where Fowley's trying to...
she's in a whole bunch of episodes.
I don't remember, so don't tell me. We'll just watch it.
Well, we're spoiling everything.
I know. Yeah. How many episodes?
Counting the end.
Yeah, counting the
where
end.
Where she doesn't die.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 7.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Fowley had this one scene where she was trying to comfort Mulder, holding his hand a little bit, and Scully saw that and hated that.
Yeah.
So, again, I didn't get this when I was younger, because at this age, what was I? 16 when this was airing. I did not catch on.
You should have been prime material.
I know. I did not catch on that they were in love.
Late bloomer.
So, let's see. Moving on, Fowley and... Okay, so after examining this kid Gibson, both Scully and Mulder are convinced that he is the key to unlock all of the X-Files. There's something special about him. They call him a missing link. He's genetic proof of alien astronauts. They jump to this. I'm not certain how they got there, other than doing some like DNA tests on him.
It seems a bit overkill to say he's proof of all the X-Files.
Yeah, but Mulder thinks he's at minimum part alien.
Yeah,
and you know, we did an episode on alien astronauts that was pretty well received, and so it's that kind of idea where aliens have come down, planted their DNA, and are making are these a different type of hybrid then? Not the ones that humans are making.
Yeah,
alien hybrid. So I have to add that to the list. if that's
number
true.
Six.
So yeah, exactly. So they think that he's going to be unlocking all the X-Files, and they realize who would want to kill this guy. Oh, I know, people that are in the business of keeping secrets wouldn't want a kid alive that can read minds. So that then we find out,
seems like a poor explanation.
Well, no, confirmation that the Syndicate is the group that tried to assassinate this poor little kid.
Yeah.
All right. So
I don't know, that kid, he kind of threw his chess opponent under the bus.
That's true, because he stands up knowing he's about to get shot and just dives out of the way.
Well, not only that, he beats him. So it's like he knows his opponent's about to die.
Checkmate.
He's like, checkmate. That's your last thought before you die.
And he moves out of the way at the last second, and then his opponent gets shot instead of him. Yeah, that was rude. That was sort of rude.
He could have at least said, I give up.
I did think, though, that this kid was a good actor.
He's fine.
As kid actors go, pretty good.
But remember, when we're talking 90s kid actors, George Lucas could have had him as Anakin Skywalker.
Okay, so going back to this thing about unlocking all the X-Files, Mulder and Scully want to go to like the Attorney General request immunity for the would-be assassin.
Based on, they have nothing for this.
Well, they want to because they think that he can then lead them to the Syndicate. Actually, I don't even know why they want to give him a pardon. But Fowley and Skinner are like, don't do that, because you're going to just draw unnecessary attention to the X-Files. You could potentially be shut down. And as soon as they say that drastic possible consequence, I'm sure viewers then were like, oh, they're going to shut down the X-Files at the end of this episode again, because I don't know if you remember, but the end of season one was, we're shutting down the X-Files.
Right.
So there is sort of a cycle to Chris Carter's storytelling.
Yep. Do you think people were getting pretty excited about a possible Janet Reno cameo appearance at this point?
All right, so we found out that the assassin was, the assassin gets killed by Smoking Man, or a guy that Smoking Man hired. While Fowley is watching over Gibson, she gets shot through the window right in front of him. We think she's dead, but she lives. She has weak vitals, but she's going to be in six more episodes after this.
Yeah, so she'll be okay.
Gibson's kidnapped by the Smoking Man, who hands Gibson over to the well-manicured man and Krycek. And this is that scene you talked about where Krycek wanted to run him over but did not. Mulder thinks that Spender is working with the Smoking Man and attacks him in front of a bunch of people. Just then, the Department of Defense decides to close down the X-Files because all this stuff, because of exactly what Skinner was worried about. Mulder and Scully are both going to be reassigned, and then we're at the final scene. And I would argue this, even though we're sort of joking about it being dumb, I would argue this is one of the most iconic scenes in all of the series.
And it's all burned up.
Because Smoking Man goes in there, takes out Samantha Mulder's file from the X-Files, and then sets the office on fire.
Yeah.
Agent Spender then sees Smoking Man leaving the building, and Smoking Man confirms that he is his father and that he can give him access to different things. There's no real conclusion to this conversation, though, because the fire alarm goes off. Smoking Man disappears. The X-Files office is burning. Mulder and Scully show up. Mulder is devastated. Scully hugs him. Episode ends. And the next thing is the movie.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
I thought this was pretty good. I remember even thinking this back then. In 1998, when the show comes back, okay, spoiling the whole series, right?
Right.
So the movie makes it so that they reopen the X-Files. So when the show starts back up in season six, the X-Files are reopened. But then something has to happen again so they can go back to the status quo. So it gets closed again in the first or second episode of season six. Because in a sense, they sort of wanted to be like, yes, the movie helped things, but we really want to go back to that status quo.
Yeah.
So, all right, the end happened on May 17th, 1998. That's when that aired. And as a fun fact, the movie comes out on June 19th, 1998, so just about a month later. Now, Ben, I didn't know this, and I don't know if you knew this. This is the most interesting fun fact of the night.
Okay.
This episode, the end, was originally supposed to be the series finale for the show.
Whoa.
Allowing the series to then evolve into a film franchise following the 1998 movie. However, Fox found the TV show to be too profitable, and they ordered season six.
I had no idea that. That's interesting.
Yeah, I never knew that. So David Duchovny explained, we were saying, okay, we're going to do five. We'll get out of here at five. And then five came around, and no one was going anywhere. So in order to appease David Duchovny, who I think you can kind of read between the lines there, that he wanted to stop after five.
Yeah.
The episode would be, this episode is the last one filmed in Vancouver, where they had been filming all along. Production for all the rest of the seasons was moved to LA, and all because Duchovny wanted to be closer to his wife.
Yeah.
Who lived in LA.
Right. Did you know Janet Reno did appear in the Saturday Night Live skit for The X-Files, played by Will Ferrell?
No, I didn't know that. The audience at the chess match that we were talking about was made up of local fans in Vancouver as a thank you to the city for hosting the production during its first 5 years.
All right.
Some people are claiming there was a chess motif in this episode with Smoking Man playing the game, and he plays Mulder into a checkmate. He's using Jeffrey Spender as a pawn. I think that might be looking into a little bit deep, but
yeah, I agree.
Whatever. The actor that plays Smoking Man, William B. Davis, or Davies, depending on how you pronounce his last name, says that he always felt his character was the hero of the story. He's quoted as saying, I used to go to conventions and try to convince everyone that I was the hero of this series and Mulder was the bad guy. I got a lot of laughs, but it's certainly true of how one plays the character. Nobody thinks they're evil.
That's right.
The intro replace the truth is out there with the end.
They're replacing those intros right and left.
I know. You know, it's a big episode when that happens. I guess this is pretty. I mean, I got some critic stuff. I found out you hated my. I thought you'd like it because that's when they make fun of things.
Well, if they're making fun of it, yeah, we can hear that.
All right. Well, this critic criticized the reappearance of Krycek and the fact that the Smoking Man was again working for the Syndicate, even though they tried to kill him.
That is true.
another critic says that this episode highlights Cancer Man's strategic strengths in a way that previous episodes didn't fully exploit. Some critics have called the Smoking Man's return thrilling and wrote that the burning of... Oh, no, I'll skip that part. The two critics were mad that they closed down the X-Files division due largely to the fact that we've seen it before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mentioned
that. And you'll see it again.
However, they wrote that the end works in spite of itself, setting the arrival of Diana Fowley and the confrontation between Smoky Man and Spender as positive points in this episode. And Ben, that is season five. And like we mentioned, I mean, we're excavating. We got to get into it.
We excavated.
Do you like this process that I'm doing, or do you want me to take it down a notch?
We could streamline it a bit more. If you're enjoying it, you do what you enjoy.
I mean, I just want to catch people up. But in a sense, I caught people up with that opening paragraph I read.
That's true.
But we can't just have episodes where we read what's new in the X-Files.
That's true. No, we excavated.
Big time.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. This was my favorite batch of episodes we've watched. That we've watched since we started this excavation process.
Yeah.
So I am for it. Season 5, my favorite season so far, by far.
Yeah, probably.
You too? You didn't even like it.
Yep. Are you ready for a real life act? I feel like I need some music.
Oh, I closed my notes. Why don't you say, weren't you going to sing It's Time to Excavate for me? And I'll do the music.
It's time to excavate.
Try it again. Okay, so I'll do it once and then you say it. Okay, here we go.
It's time to excavate. That's beautiful.
I'll get that for later.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. I have a question for you, Matt.
Yes.
I can't give you the title of this or else it will give away the answer to the question. But I'm going to list several people and I want you to tell me what they have in common. Okay. So Bob Hope.
Okay.
Bill and Hillary Clinton.
Okay.
Queen Elizabeth. And George W. Bush.
What do they have in common?
Well,
I know they've all been to the White House.
That's not it.
That's all I got.
They're all reptile aliens.
Okay.
So there's a fellow named David Icke who is, you know, he's revealing a very important truth to us, which is that the human race is actually being controlled by a species of reptile aliens that are capable of, among other things, shape-shifting and all that good stuff. We'll get to that.
Let me ask you a quick question.
Yeah.
In previous installments of Real Life X-Files, I know that you try to do ones that you kind of believe in, or not believe in, but you could kind of see.
Oh, I just went for off the deep end here.
Okay, so this is, just to clarify, this is off the deep end.
Yeah.
Okay.
But David Icke believes it, and there are people out there who do believe this. So David Icke believes, well, he believes a number of things. I'm not quite sure where to start, but okay, we'll start with this. All of reality, as we perceive it, entirely virtual. It's designed by a being outside of our dimension and consciousness, and everything you perceive as physics and all that is just software. So there's that.
Okay.
Inside then this reality, there were ancient reptile beings who came to Earth millennia ago. And they came, and so references in like ancient Babylonian mythology, in the Epic of Gilgamesh, to the Anunnaki as gods, those were actually alien reptiles. So it kind of puts a different spin on those documents.
Yeah.
I can read it. And so they came to Earth they came here for one very important reason, is that we had some special minerals on Earth.
What kind of minerals?
Just special minerals. Okay. And so they came to get the special minerals, and those special minerals, among other things, allow them to shapeshift, allows them telepathic control, and they've been crossbreeding with humans. They've been doing all this crazy stuff. And you might think, well, that's fine for the Epic of Gilgamesh, but at least we're done with that today. Well, not so fast. They've actually been controlling us all along, and they are capable of, with a single command, controlling the whole of the human race. And you might say, how does a reptile alien control the entire human race?
How do they, Ben?
Well, let me tell you. The moon.
Okay,
so let's understand this about the moon. Have you ever been to the moon, Matt?
You know, let me think about that. I don't believe so. No, I don't think so.
Okay, if you had ever been to the moon, you would realize that it is actually not the moon. It is a spaceship. And within this spaceship is technology that is capable of telepathically controlling all of the humans on planet Earth and directing our actions and causing all sorts of mischief. And then, of course, they got their agents down here, like, you know, the Clintons. And
Bob Hope.
Yeah. I don't know about Laura Bush. Clintons are reptiles, but only George W. got named.
Why Bob Hope?
I don't know. The evidence was a little sketchy. Because
you named political leaders pretty high
and
up.
And Bob Hope.
And then Bob Hope.
I don't know. But here's the thing. It's not just political leaders. In fact, one of the real dangers is that these reptiles are actually capable of possessing all of us.
That is dangerous.
That is dangerous. Oh, one more thing before I get to that is that you've actually probably seen these reptiles, or at least their spaceships. And I'm not just talking about the moon. Obviously, you've seen that spaceship. You know where else they have their spaceships?
Where?
Rings of Saturn.
Oh.
Those are actually spaceships from the reptiles.
I don't know if I've ever seen the Rings of Saturn.
I got a picture.
Oh, yeah. Like a drawn picture?
Well, like, you could draw a circle with a ring around it, but no, not like an actual photograph.
Let me draw a picture of the Rings of Saturn.
Yeah, so that you're actually drawing alien spaceships there.
So there's a circle.
Yeah.
And then you kind of do a little...
And so those rings, not natural, those are actually spaceships from the reptiles.
Okay.
But the thing that you really want to know, because these reptiles, apparently, not only can they shapeshift, but they're capable of possessing anyone. And so it's important to know how you, what are some of the warning signs of if you might be being possessed by a reptile, alien, spirit. And I found a website that, as far as I could tell, was serious, and they provided 24 warning signs. So I'll run through some of these quick. Okay, so this, because I think this is important for people to know.
Hey, take your time. You let me talk through 5 episodes of X-Files.
Well, we got to get the warning signs out. All right, so Matt, I'd like you to listen carefully and count up how many of these you have or have had at some point.
Okay.
Cold chills.
Yes.
Or the feeling of being often cold when others around you are not.
I wouldn't say often, but here and there.
Okay, so that's one. Extreme and sudden grogginess. Or like, drowsiness.
Like in the mornings, I'm pretty tired.
Okay, so that's 2. Mental confusion or an inability to concentrate. Have you ever had trouble concentrating?
I mean, maybe in high school, like during classes.
3.
Yeah.
Extreme chest pain. Squeezing of the heart.
I might be safe on this one.
Okay. Numbness in face or extremities.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Because we live in Minnesota. It's
right.
Cold here.
I was out biking today and my hand got a little numb. Yeah. So I definitely have that one.
My hand's, yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Now that you're saying that,
I know.
It feels like it's asleep right now.
So we're like 4 out of 5 right now.
Wait, so what does this mean I have?
Well, these are some warning signs you might be being possessed by a reptile.
Oh,
okay.
That is bad.
Eye twitching or pain. Has your eye ever twitched?
Yes.
Okay, so that's 5. Violent sneezing.
Not violent. I love sneezing.
But have you ever had a big sneeze?
Yeah, I mean, but not violently, just like a big, like one big one. Because like, violent seems like you just can't stop sneezing.
Okay. So it's kind of ambiguous. But
I'm going to say no to this one.
Migraines.
I get headaches here and there, so you can count that one, I guess.
Hearing of another voice, especially if it has a sinister message like, I hate you.
No, not that one. You get that one?
No.
Okay.
Uncharacteristic rage.
No, I'm pretty cool, calm, and collected.
You don't have to answer these ones. Chronic depression.
Yeah, are these starting to get a little more serious?
Personal. Suicidal feelings and thoughts, which is actually, it says in parentheses, that's the soul, and your soul is wrestling with the reptile spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Electronic interference, the computers, phones, and whatnot. I know we've had that because we've had technical problems here on the podcast.
Yeah.
So that's what, seven? Is that seven? I think seven.
I was just thinking, how funny would it be if I forgot to hit record for this long episode?
That would be terrible.
We would never redo it.
No, I think the X-Files would be dead.
Yeah. Okay, keep going.
A tinny static sound during phone conversations. Have you ever had static on the phone?
Yeah.
So that's eight.
Oh my gosh.
Foul taste in the mouth.
Sure.
Yeah, especially if you eat something that tastes bad.
Yeah.
Unexplained muscle spasms or random pains.
Yeah.
Ten. Abandonment by former friends and family.
Uh-oh. Oh, definitely me.
It's got a little sad.
Yeah. Remember how I grew up without a father?
It's true. So that's 11. Interrupted sleep. That's probably all the time now that you have a baby.
Yeah.
Feelings of sudden and unexpected terror.
Well, I hadn't until I started finding out I'm being possessed by a lizard.
Right now.
Yeah.
Panic attacks. A feeling of always being watched and monitored. Now, I'm not sure what this one is, because it says brain splitting and then in parentheses registered trademark.
Oh.
So this is apparently their term, but this is a term I have coined for the sensation mentality of the soul's own voice battling with the programmed or intrusive reptilian voice. It probably indicates a brain implant, and the timing of the symptom represents an attempt to stop the person from following a divine light impulse, also a registered trademark. This may also indicate an attempt to induce schizophrenia, which is always reptilian caused.
Wow, Ben.
I don't think we have that one.
That's quite the list.
And then two more. Short-term memory loss. And then bouts of extreme fatigue.
So what we're saying, listeners,
as if the life force is being sucked out of you, parentheses, it is.
That's what it says?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
So what was your final tally? Like 13, 14?
High, yeah, half.
You've got at least
half a chance.
I think you're probably being possessed by a reptile.
Would that make for good podcasting? Possibly.
Yeah, it could.
Maybe that's why I'm in such a position of internet power.
That's true.
Like, how did we become internet celebrities?
Possessed, you know, if you're up there on the moon, if you could help us to win the podcast awards, we'd appreciate it.
As we record here, the winner is going to be announced tonight.
Yeah.
We won't be able to announce it on the air, I don't think. But
no. So, that's it.
Real
reptiles are out there.
All right, Ben. I think you told me that you have this.
It's sci-fi.
Oh, do you want me to do this?
Story time.
Should we do it here or on the news episode?
Let's do it here, because okay. The news episode, who knows how short we're going to cut it.
Yeah, it could be short.
Yeah.
All right, so you noticed that I read on Goodreads this last week a book of Lost.
Yes, I did notice that. What? Oh, yes, The Little Prince.
The Little Prince, who I think the author was also on our Top 100 Authors Countdown, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
So I figured, you know, this is a good one to read. Well, the reason I read it is I was on Audible's website, and I noticed that they had one-day-only sale, The Little Prince, for $1.
Okay, that's
Heck of a dollar. And I got it. It was the sale was going to expire at 11 p.m. our time. I saw it at 10:30 p.m.
Wow.
My first thought was I should tell Matt, because he'd probably listen to a book of Lost for $1.
I've been thinking about joining Audible.
And you've been thinking about joining Audible. And I thought, well, he'll never see it in time. So what I did, I bought you a gift. If I find it in my pocket here. They had me select a holiday, so you just open it up and see what holiday you got. An early Kwanzaa.
Thank you. Happy Kwanzaa. Enjoy an audiobook as you celebrate. So how does this work?
Do I have to be a member? I think you do, but you don't have to pay for anything.
So
just have to register an account.
Well, this is perfect, because I was thinking about joining anyways.
So you now have a copy of The Little Prince.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you. This is a great
gift. You're not getting a Kwanzaa gift this year, because that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so it just let you choose from a list of holidays?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I chose Kwanzaa.
Thank you. Wow, The Little Prince. This is going to be great.
Well, it's actually a card. I had it folded as a card, so that you've kind of ruined it.
Well, it was a piece of paper.
See, you get open it up.
Oh.
Yeah, see, that's what you're supposed to do.
Thank you.
So, I bought one for me, and I bought one for you.
Well, thank you.
$2 for The Little Prince.
I'm excited. I will listen to it as soon as possible.
It's only 2 hours long, so you can knock it out.
Do you want to do an episode on it?
Well, I think we'll have to.
Okay. That's like I said in the past, anytime I finish a book, it's like, well, Matt never reads. Let's do an episode on that.
That's right.
Perfect. Well, thank you, Ben. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
And I've been going back and forth. I've heard about audible.com, of course, and then there's another one called scribd.com, S-C-R-I-B-D. And I have been trying to compare and contrast, figure out what's the best bang for my buck.
Yeah.
So you've told me that with Audible, you get to keep the books you download.
Yeah, you want them.
I'm not certain, but I think with Scribd, don't hold me to this, but I don't think you keep them. I think you just sort of stream them like a Netflix service.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I think Scribd calls themselves the Netflix of books.
Oh. So, I mean, they both sound good for different reasons.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, Ben, that's a great way to end this episode. Thank you. So, I guess
it's only a dollar, so you don't have to be very thankful.
Well, I am. I'm very thankful. Before we leave you tonight, I just want to reiterate again, I really enjoyed season 5 of The X-Files.
Yeah.
This was, after listening to the part 7 where we were just kind of down and sick of X-Files, I realized, season 5 was great. I had, had kind of low expectations going into it, so that might have helped.
Yeah.
But it might be good to wait a little bit before we get back into season 6.
That's a good idea.
So let's shoot for June.
Okay.
Because that will be a year since the last one.
Yeah.
So first season 6 got 5 episodes here. So
we got the movie.
Oh, that's actually what's next.
Yeah.
We could knock the movie out, though, maybe in May.
Yeah.
Let me just talk about this. If you're going to do season 6 with us, 5 episodes, episode 1, The Beginning, episode 9, SR819, or SR819, not sure. And then we've got episodes 11 and 12 back-to-back, 2 fathers, and then episode 12, 1 son. And then that might be the one where we find out Mulder is Smoking Man's son. And then episode 22 of season 6, Biogenesis, the finale. So those are the 5 episodes we'll be talking about, maybe in less detail, in part 9.
These are your baby.
No.
So you go for it.
We started it together.
Well, yeah. So I'm in it to win it. So I just say, you have episodes where you let me go on for a long time, so I'm trying to offer the same grace to you.
But let me ask you this, and I do appreciate that. We kind of started this journey together thinking this would be fun. I feel like you've lost interest, and I'm still into it. Is that
true? Yeah, but I'm in it to win it.
Okay, so we'll stick with it. Only 14 episodes. I mean, it's such a minimum commitment.
Quiet Willie. That's enough to keep me going.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
The character.
That's right.
Just clarifying. Yes. All right. So, but the next episode, you're right, Ben. Thank you for that. Part 9 will be about the movie Fight the Future. And then Ben and I will give a top 5 countdown of our favorite non-mythology episodes in the first 5 seasons.
That's right.
All right.
So I'll have to find some of those.
There it is. I'm going to actually watch them. Do you think you'll watch them or just name them?
Like all of them?
The 5 episodes?
Oh, I'll probably watch the 5.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch all the non-mythology episodes.
I'm totally basing this on my memory.
I'm going to Google what the good ones are and pick them up from that.
Okay. That makes sense. All right. Yeah. Let's hit the music. All right, everybody. We do have a news episode next, but as I look at the clock, Ben and I started a thing where this may not matter to you that much, but we record Tuesday nights between the hours of 5:30 and 7:30.
Yeah.
We started doing the main topic at the beginning so that we could give a shorter amount of time news, possibly.
Yeah.
Well, really, whatever.
If we got to cut something, we cut the news.
Yeah, whatever time we have left, we use it for news. So next episode will be news, but expect about a 20-minute episode for that.
Yeah.
Well, that's all from here. I'm Matt Anderson.
I'm Ben DiMono.
We are the Sci-Fi Christians signing off.
Yeah, goodbye.